Welcome. I'm Elizabeth Keller, Director of Public Policy for the International City County Management Association, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to ICMA's second weekly teleconference on COVID-19 issues. I am pleased to introduce Jeff Finkel, President and CEO of the International Economic Development Council and a recognized leader and authority on economic development. Jeff previously served as Deputy Assistant Secretary in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. ICMA has been pleased to work with IADC to develop a FEMA training course on planning for disaster recovery. In today's presentation, Jeff will draw on lessons learned from past experiences in emerging from economic disasters and some of the resources that you can tap in the weeks and months ahead to recover from this economic disaster. Following his presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Jeff?
Thank you, Beth. Can I be heard fine?
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. We live in interesting times, is a Chinese proverb, and I will tell you, I'm sure you've never been busier. The staff at ICMA probably has never been busier, and neither have we at the International Economic Development Council. A few minutes ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the $2.2 trillion recovery package, and I will not be talking about that today. But I think we find ourselves in a position that we do not even know from an economic development point of view or from an overall economic recovery point of view whether that is the right package, the right amount, or how long that we will be in these circumstances. I'm going to go through some overheads, some PowerPoints that address the issue of economic development and economic recovery based on many years of IADC's experience. Some of these experiences will be relevant. We're going to learn a ton over the next several months. Some of them may prove not to be relevant. To give people a quick idea of who IADC is, we are the membership group for city, county, state economic development organizations, plus their not-for-profit partners, which would include SBA 504 lenders, marketing organizations, chambers of commerce if they have an economic development mission as a part of what they do. IADC has been in the economic recovery business. Many associations, ICMA included, does work beyond just member services. We also support our members through direct technical assistance. IADC has become somewhat of a specialist in the economic recovery after disasters. We have been doing it since Katrina, and we have deployed volunteers and staff for many years since then. Currently, we're working in both Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, Hawaii, Texas, Northern Mariana Islands, Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico, among others. From our experience, there are two or three phases to this whole notion of economic recovery. And the first phase is health, welfare, and safety. And we are still in that portion of what would be a typical recovery operations or economic recovery. You can't go into a community until the electricity is back on, till you have the floodwaters have receded. And in this case, we're not going to really be able to do a recovery until we've got the coronavirus under control. There are things that we're going to be able to do in terms of planning, but frankly, until we know we can reopen our restaurants safely, we can start holding conferences at hotels, that we can get on airplanes and not worry about the person beside us giving us the coronavirus, it is going to be hard to begin a recovery. So we're going to have to restore basic services, think about business reentry, access financial resources. But the one thing we can do now, started a couple immediately and will continue for some time, is think about a communication strategy with our business community. What do they need? What can we do for them? Over the long haul, we're going to lose some businesses. So, you know, what does Main Street look like in the future? What does our shopping centers look like in the future? We need to think about strategic planning. We need to think about our financial resources that that we have available for us in terms of helping to get businesses back into business. The next slide, if Rick is following me with these, is the phases of economic recovery. Unfortunately, this also looks like same slide we've been seeing in terms of slowing the curves. These are different slides. It basically helps us think about short-term, intermediate, and long-term recovery from an economic development point of view. The challenges with COVID-19 is this is a very unpredictable situation. I am not, I've had to make decisions as somebody who leads a not-for-profit organization, and the decisions have gone at us very quickly. I did not think I would be making some of the decisions that we've had to make, but if you think about your business community, if you think about the organizations that you work for, your businesses are making these decisions at the last minute with some planning in the same way. We don't know how long our timeline is going to be for this. We're in an unpredictable situation. We had a press conference yesterday, and we included the general manager of economic development for Toronto. If you remember, in 2003, they had SARS. And they thought they had SARS under control, and then it re-erupted again, and it stopped their economic development progress in its tracks and had to start all over a second time. We're going to see the local and state government revenue shortfalls. We're going to see undercapitalized businesses. We're going to see layoffs. We certainly already have our supply chains disrupted. Many jobs cannot be done remotely. And then we have to worry about the morale of not only our employees, but our business owners, and whether they'll ever be able to get back up and running ever again. Unfortunately, our experience in other disasters is that we will lose businesses. I had one of my board members post on LinkedIn today that his favorite wine store went out of business as a result of what we are going through. As we're starting to think about this, we need to be thinking about our own recovery and mitigation plans as part of our economic development programs. We're going to have to do this by considering all of our possible partners. You may not have spent time much with your small business development center in the past. You may not have dealt with your SCORE volunteer programs in the past. You may want to be thinking about those as resources, and this bill, the CARES Act, gives those organizations more money to provide technical assistance, as it also has for women business development centers and minority business development centers. There has been additional resources put into all of those. But we're going to need collectively, as cities, as economic developers, as city managers, as deputy city managers, thinking about what is this strategy that we're going to implement. There's a lot of money in $2.2 trillion, but we need to figure out how to get those dollars onto the streets as quickly as possible, and using smart judgments about how we're going to spread that money. There is a ton of additional CDBG dollars. Many communities are going to have to use their CDBG dollars to support their emergency food programs, their emergency shelter programs. They're going to have to think about their homeless and affordable housing programs. But they're also going to want to think about whether there's money in there to help businesses as well. I was at HUD at one point during a past disaster or economic recovery. The thing that I would pray that all of you do is get your dollars out the door quickly. If you're still spending your CDBG plus up dollars 2 years from now, that's too late. You need to think about how you get those dollars out the door immediately. On our next slide, Rick, we did the City of Toronto, both in SARS and in this instance, has created an economic support and recovery task force. They are working with a number of partners. They are trying to extend grace periods for tax and utility payments, establishing a contingency fund to support businesses, expanding small business advisory services, and exempting businesses from delivery hour restrictions. There are times when they allow trucks onto streets. They've got rid of those completely. The role of your economic development professionals is during this time, they need to be leading a lot of the communication between government and business. They need to be identifying the resources that are available. One of the things that many economic developers are going to have to get up to speed on is all of this SBA dollars that that has become available at both before this CARES Act and that is in the CARES Act. We need to figure out what are the economic impacts and how we assess those and we deal with those, creating strategic partnership and updating strategic plans. There is going to be a fair amount of post-disaster small business assistance, revolving loan funds, bridge loans, grant programs, CDFIs can all be partners in this. Galveston, Texas, we highlighted on a webinar that we had on Monday of this week. They always have at ready a loan program that is available because they're expecting to get hit by a hurricane during hurricane season every year. Their local banks and major savings and loan, insurance company in their community has a loan fund ready to be implemented. They pulled the trigger and implemented it. It may be too late for this disaster. It may not be to get some of your local major business leaders to come up with such a loan program for businesses that may need additional lending. Post-disaster small business assistance strategies, you want to be thinking about what are your resources. Are you going to be able to provide only online services for now, and is that implemented? What types of worker assistance do you have? One of the things that some people think about in these circumstances is convincing some of their employers to think about shared work if they can't bring back all of their employees. Some communities think about buy local so that they can support their local businesses. And obviously many communities are thinking about takeout and delivery options. New Orleans has a relief fund for the gig economy. Gig economy workers represent 8% of Orleans parish workforce. Because of the various things that have been canceled, they have come up with a program to support. Fortunately, the CARES Act does think about self-employed people, and they will be eligible for unemployment benefits. Stockton, California has set up a program as part of their tourism arm of the city. They're promoting their local restaurants. Their goal is to impact on the closures of local business. Many businesses, restaurants in this area are encouraging people to buy gift cards at this point in time. Communication, communication, communication. That's the one thing we've learned about in every one of the disasters that we have been involved in. How do you communicate via social media? How do you survey your businesses and try to figure out what they need and what you can be doing now, and what resources that you can make available to them. In Las Vegas, they have a Global Economic Alliance, and they have a COVID-19 webpage. By the way, in a minute, I'm going to give you a link to restoreyoureconomy.org. There is a suggestion of a sample webpage for communities if you don't currently have one. Many states, many cities are defining what's an essential versus non-essential business for opening. In the Las Vegas website, they're telling people what is essential versus non-essential. They're providing what the Local Economic Development Alliance is doing in terms of support. The way forward, information is key. Many of us are not going to have enough resources because our resources will be knocked out from underneath of us a little bit. So we're going to have to work together, maybe closer than we have with partners in the past. We're going to have to be adaptable. These are important times to understand that adaptability is going to be one of our adaptability, patience, and humor are probably going to be some of our better skills. And my next to the last slide, I believe, I have provided the website for restoreyoureconomy.org. This is a website that we've been maintaining with the support of the U.S. Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration. Over the last 8 days, maybe 10 days, we have plussed this website up in a substantial way just to look at how communities are responding to COVID-19. There are a ton of resources on there, including a link to the webinar that we had on Monday that talked about first steps that people can take. There is a ton of information. On Monday of this coming week, which is my last slide, number 19, next to last slide, we're going to have a webinar on demystifying financial programs and resources. We're going to have people from SBA talking about their new programs. We're going to have people talking about EDAs, ability to use EDA funds, CDBG funds, and two people, both Robin Barnes and John Zakian, who have worked in a variety of crises, disasters, and tools that they've used. So my last slide is preparing for what's next. That was our webinar that we had this past Monday, I believe. It's available online at this particular point in time. I'd be happy to handle any questions that I might have come up for people.
Thank you, Jeff. That was terrific. We're now going to open up the phone lines so you can ask questions. And with that, I will turn it over to our moderator, Rick Ehrenholt.
Thanks, Beth. So to ask a question, just use the Q&A function, please, and key in your question. Okay, the first one that's come in, how can a small community with a limited budget help small businesses that have had to close abruptly?
So what I would do if you're a small community is I would do two or three things. First, do you have a larger partner in the region? If you're in a rural community, you may have a rural development district somewhere in the region that might be able to be helpful to you access funds for that. Second, we will know a lot more on Monday or Tuesday in terms of what these SBA loans are going to look like. And many of these Small Business Administration loans are going to be forgivable loans. That means you help the business determine whether they are eligible. You point the way to them in terms of where they apply. I am hearing from SBA that the way these lending programs may work is they may be all handled through banks. So if you can figure out what is the local lender that will be processing them, and then I'm told that 21 days later, they will learn whether they were successful or not. I know that that does not get a company open tomorrow, but frankly, many companies are not going, or businesses are not going to be open tomorrow because of the virus. You have to hope that that company business can survive. Second, unlike past unemployment levels, it's my understanding that business owners can also apply for unemployment compensation. So make sure that you actually point that out to the business owner, that they are probably, and don't go to the bank on this, but they are possibly or probably eligible for unemployment compensation in their own terms. Next, can your small community defer taxation for a period of time? Is there anything else that you can do to help them avoid putting money out the door immediately? I understand that probably puts your cash flow at risk as well, but there probably are a number of things that you can do to help a small business.
Okay, here's another one. Are you working with other grant resources besides CDBG?
So there are a number of plus-ups that occurred in this bill. The Economic Development Administration got $1.5 billion more than they would normally get. We are hoping that a fair amount of that money goes out into existing revolving loan funds that exist around the country. And we are hoping those revolving loan funds are put into place almost immediately upon those dollars going out. The Rural Development Program's got some amount of plus up. The Manufacturing Extension Partnership, which most economic developers don't use, got a $50 million plus up, and the forgiveness of match, which means that their partners typically needed to come up with additional money. CDBG got $4.5 billion. I've lost on that particular number, but there is, and then the small business loans, and let me make that clear. Many of them are forgivable after 3 years, and they can be used for cash flow. They don't have to be used for bricks and mortar. They do not have to be used for equipment. So if you haven't used SBA loans in the past, it may be a time to give them a second look.
Okay, next question. Cities are trying to understand what financial help they can expect from the $2 trillion Fed package. How can they access those funds? Any insight now?
The insight that I can provide you is patience. I understand that none of us want to have that at this particular point in time. The president hasn't even signed the bill yet, and the agencies are now scrambling to figure out, in fact, how they're going to get the money out the door. Typically, there would be a regulation requirement, or that they would have to be writing regulations. My guess is we are probably, at a minimum, in many cases, 3 weeks away from some of the money coming out the door, with the exception that there, we're going to have immediate checks provided to people that qualify from the IRS. That's roughly, I don't pretend to be an expert on this particular part of the bill, families of $150,000 in income and below, and that's net income, not gross income, we'll start getting checks from the IRS in early April. That will mean a lot to a lot of people. That doesn't solve any immediate city problems, but there also are resources coming to cities and states as well as hospitals.
Okay, Much like Y2K, this event has caused investment in new ways of providing service. Any thoughts on the potential decline of the need for corporate office space? We are all now finding ways to work remotely. Could that have a negative impact on downtowns?
Yes. I think many people, I mean, I think there's several things that are going to happen negatively as a result of this. One, will people getting together in large clusters, will people feel as comfortable as they have in the past? Will we feel comfortable going into the big shopping centers? Will we feel comfortable in going into the big arenas? I think we're going to have to get successfully by this and feel comfortable that our healthcare system can actually bend if we should have another virus in the future. I mean, SARS was 2003. This is 2020. That's only 17 years with a new virus that has come at us. Second, you know, if more people feel comfortable working from home and if this distributive work environment that many of us are working in, maybe more companies will feel comfortable. I don't disagree with the premise that we could be using less office space in the future.
Okay. Is there a resource or website that hosts a bank of economic development ideas?
RestoreYourEconomy.org. I can't repeat that often enough. We have tackled any number of concepts there. We've asked a number of people to write articles. It will host webinars that were, once they're recorded, will be on our website. IEDConline.org is IEDC's main website. But we're trying to put as much out there for everybody. IEDConline.org is our membership website. But frankly, like ICMA and many other organizations, we're trying to be a service to the greater community. So we're putting as much as possible into RestoreYourEconomy.org.
Great. Okay, well, that is our last question. Jeff, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I want to wish everybody luck. This is going to test all of us. It's going to test our skill. We're going to have friends that are going to get sick yet. We're going to have experiences that I think we've never wanted to have before. We've got to buck up, and we're going to have to do our jobs at levels we never thought possible. I appreciate having the opportunity to work with ICMA on this and the other things we work together on. And I think it's collaboration is going to be key in many things that we do. So, Rick, I want to thank you and Beth for inviting me to be with you today.
And thank you, Jeff. That was just terrific. I know our members really appreciate all your advice and counsel. Thank you.
Thank you.